Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church Podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, October 13th, the year of our Lord, 2024. And this is the 21st Sunday after Pentecost. It is an absolute joy to welcome you here to the podcast. As I stand here in the sanctuary and record, it is yet again another beautiful day on Pensacola Beach. Beautiful fall weather. If you've never been to Pensacola, and Pensacola Beach in October, put that on your to-do list. But with those kind of good things in mind, let's begin in the manner in which we begin around here, our custom and practice, which is to begin by approaching God in a spirit and posture of thanksgiving. So I ask you to just first get comfortable and drop your shoulders and shake out any tension that you might be carrying around, and then breathe. Take in as big a breath as you can and hold on to it for a moment and think about it and thank God for it, for the breath of life and for the gift of life itself. And as you breathe in and as you breathe out, call to mind those things for which you are most grateful, most thankful. The people in your life that bring you joy. Those special places, maybe that favorite chair, maybe the window over the kitchen sink, those places where you find yourself at peace. Places where you can pause and pay attention. And with these good things in mind, directly give thanks to God for all of it, for every good and perfect gift, for miracles great and small. For these gifts of life and love and family and faith. And in this spirit of thanksgiving, let's begin together in worship. Please join with me in the prayer of invocation as printed in your digital bulletin. You can find that bulletin just to the left of where you found today's podcast, to the left and just below the line there. The heading says Sermon Notes. In there, you can find that tab. Click on it, tap on it, and the bulletin will come up for you. Let's begin. Gracious God, we come before you today recognizing the power of your word, which is living and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. Search our hearts and draw us near to your throne of grace. In our weakness, we seek your mercy and find confidence in the help you provide through Christ, our great high priest. Let your spirit guide us that we may approach you with boldness, trusting in your grace and love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our scripture reading today comes from Hebrews in the 4th chapter, verses 12 through 16. Indeed, the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing until it divides soul from spirit, joints from marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And before him no creature is hidden, but all are naked and laid bare to the eyes of the one to whom we must render an account. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but we have one who in every respect has been tested as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This is the word of God for the people of God, and we give thanks to God for it. Let's take a moment to pray. Gracious and merciful God, we give you thanks for the gift of your word, alive and living among us. We pray to receive the gift of this word, to be convicted by it, inspired by it, that it would help us to see ourselves in the world around us through your eyes and in your grace. And so we pray during this time of reflection that you would draw alongside us, that you would save us from distraction and misinterpretation, so that we might all truly hear the word that you have for each and every one of us. We ask this in your holy name, and we say, Amen. Friends, today we begin what will be a short series of reflections in this letter to the Hebrews, a letter written to a community of Jewish Christ followers. Jewish Christ followers who have found that following Christ as Messiah comes at a price. There's a social price that's paid, that to follow Jesus as Messiah means that I'll be cut off from the people who do not follow Jesus as Messiah, even though we're both rooted in this same ancient tradition, to be kicked out of the synagogue, to be removed from social circles, to be somewhat outcast because of this newfound faith. This letter is written as an encouragement to people like that, people who have endured persecution, people who have found that they're no longer welcome within their ancient practice, the faith of their fathers, even though they understand it simply or profoundly to be the fulfillment of that faith. This letter is steeped in that faith. Line after line is a reference to Torah and to the scriptures of the Hebrews. But it's very relevant for us as well. Those of us who have come to understand Jesus as Messiah, or those of us who are just beginning to think, there's something here for me. There's a healing here. There's a kind of hope I've never experienced before. But it's different than the world around me. It's different, perhaps, than my friend group or the people at work believe. It's different than the faith or non-faith of my family. That to believe in God in such a way that it will change the way I live and how I think and how I act in the world, all of that is present in this letter. Well, let's just examine these very, what do we have today, 12 through 16. We have these just a few verses. And maybe we'll take them in kind of in two sections. Why don't I just reread, starting at verse 12. Indeed, the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing until it divides soul and from spirit, joints from marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And then carrying on in verse 13, and before him no creature is hidden, but all are naked and laid bare to the eyes of the one to whom we must render an account. Hebrews is filled with this kind of language that makes you kind of adjust your collar and squirm in your seat. And that's somewhat the intention is to get your attention. But it's also very encouraging that there is a truth. There is an unwavering, unblinking truth that is God, who comes in the person of Jesus. And so if we want to understand what the truth of God looks like, we can look to the Gospels. We can look to the stories of God with us in Jesus. That there isn't a place for us to hide. And actually, there's no need for us to hide. Because in the eyes of God, there's no place to hide. And it's all of us, in one way or another, have a facade that we show the world, a persona, to give the appearance that we have our act together. And you could be, particularly in church, but other places too, you might come to work or church or someplace just heavily burdened and conflicted. And then you see somebody you know and they'll say, "Hey there, Bill, how are you doing?" "Oh, I'm fine. Of course, Bill's not fine, but we live in a time and place when we're supposed to be fine. Or we want to project a certain level of control or prestige or wealth. So we dress certain ways and we live in a particular kind of way that is more of a persona than who we are personally. Well, this author is saying that doesn't last, and it's not really honest. And that the fullness of life is to take those vulnerabilities and those weaknesses that we have, the flaws of character, the habits learned and adopted that are not compatible with life or life in the kingdom of heaven, and to just lay them on the table. And that we'll find in the laying on the table and in the trusting that there's an incredible healing grace, that we become new. We are new creations. And so then, verse 14, since then we have a great high priest, that is Jesus, who has passed through the heavens, let us hold fast to our confession. Hang on to him. The world may be criticizing you for following, but hang on to the one who comes from heaven and comes by your side. Verse 15 goes on to say, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but we have one who in every respect has been tested as we are, yet without sin. We have this one that we call our high priest, the one that intercedes on our behalf, who's lived the kind of life we live, has endured human frailty, knows suffering, has been tempted, but has unwaveringly walked in the way of God. And he's our advocate. And he's our friend. And like any good friend, he calls us on our stuff, wants us to improve the way we the way we live and the way we are in the world. And asks us to ask him, hey, if you need me, call me. If you're ever discouraged, remember you have a friend in me. And I'm present. I'm present in the stories. When you speak of me and you tell the stories of me, I'm there with you. I'm with you in the bread and the wine and the blessing. I'm with you in the water. I'm with you in the tender kindness of the neighbor or in the kindness that you show others. Verse 16 says it like this. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That the promises of Jesus are real. That Jesus shows up where Jesus is invited. That Jesus is the full embodiment of the love and the truth of God. And again, the author of this wonderful letter grounds it in the ancient tradition. You, Jewish Christians, yes, the promises made to Moses and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and how the community carries on and David. I am that God. I come as the fulfillment of those promises. That Jesus functions as this great high priest, the one who is the intermediary, the one who offers sacrifice on behalf of the community. But in Jesus, it shifts, it expands. Jesus not only offers the sacrifice, Jesus is the sacrifice. Jesus doesn't only teach the law, Jesus is the law. Jesus doesn't simply perform miracles and offer grace. He himself is miracle and grace. You get the point. The fullness of God in the person of Jesus who invites us into a relationship. This letter, this book of Hebrews, it's close to my heart in that it is part of the reason I'm standing here talking to you today. I don't know how old I was. I was in my mid to later 20s and very much restless in my spirit, really not happy with my vocation and feeling this kind of existential crisis, if you will, that who am I and who is God and what's the point of just grinding out every day, going into the world. And I realized I needed a change of mind, and I had been through all of the self-help gurus and the personal development people and the management seminars, and I came to realize I was drawing the greatest strength from preaching, from Christian preaching, and in particular at the time, evangelical Christian preaching. And I came across a preacher on the radio by the name of Chuck Swindoll, whom I found to be just a wonderful Bible teacher. And he did a series called, I'm going to paraphrase it, I think it was something like Rising Above the Level of Mediocrity. And I was intrigued. It was really speaking to my heart. And you could order the tapes. So this is how long ago this was. So I ordered the tapes of this sermon series, and it came with a booklet. And as I recall, if it wasn't the first chapter, it was near the beginning. The chapter was, it starts with your mind. In that one of the greatest ways to train the mind to focus on the things of God was to memorize scripture, which was almost cause for me to put the book down and walk away to think, I can't do that. I'm terrible at that. But I stuck with it. And the very first scripture that I memorized, as it was outlined in the book, as I recall, was a passage from Hebrews. Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, to get rid of sin and the things that encumber us, and to fix our eyes on Jesus, the creator and the perfecter of our faith. Now I'm paraphrasing. But that act of memorization did just what Pastor Swindoll had promised. It began to shape my thinking. It helped me to realize the power of this living word when you allow it to have its way with you. And we like to be in control, and we like to imagine sometimes that the persona we show the world is an accurate representation of the person. But more and more, we realize that the person is vulnerable, and the person often doesn't have the answers, and the person sometimes has unchecked appetites, or the person sometimes has deep red ink in the bank account. Whatever that is, those things that we try to hide. But this word encourages us that all that is passing, and that the greatest thing we can do is to invite this living word into our minds and to our hearts. And we find that we become new. We see the world in a different way. We're gentler and we're kinder and we're gracious. More gracious with ourselves and with others. But it's not a one-off thing. It's a daily practice. It may be why it is that you're listening to this podcast right now. For that sense of refresh and renewal that reflecting on God's good word offers us. I commend to you, as I guess I always do, but read through this letter. Start in the first chapter. And when your Bible, if it has notations in it at all, makes a reference to the Old Testament, take a moment and then go read the thing that it's rooted in. And you'll see how brilliant this letter is and that it connects it all. And we realize that that community was connected with the community that was ancient to them. And then we read and we're connected to the community to whom this letter was originally written, and therefore connected to the community that they understood themselves to be rooted in. And that we're all one family of faith. Loved and challenged and nurtured and called into being by this great high priest, we come to realize in all faith and humility that our faith in Jesus is well placed, that we're fearfully and wonderfully made and loved by our Creator. And the full demonstration of that love is in the person of Jesus. And the more we invite him in, and the more we allow our thinking, our minds, to be shaped by the truth of God, the more good news we will find in living, now and forever. To which I say, Amen. Heavenly Father, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God of the saints and the prophets, God of the ancient and contemporary church, we call out to you and we pray. We confess. You know us. And so we call out and we confess the things that you know about us already, but we confess so that we would be in the right relationship with you, holding nothing back from you, allowing ourselves to be vulnerable, to be laid bare before you. And in this naked and vulnerable state, O God, among the things we confess is that we need you. And we thank you for the promise that you made that when we gather and when we call out your name, you'll be with us. And so we claim that promise now. Meet us here right now in this moment, we pray, O God. And we pray for your interventions and your healing and your mercies to be poured out all around the world. For those who are suffering in the midst of poverty and chaos, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. For those in need of help in the wake of natural disaster, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. For those on the brink of a miracle, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. For those who have run the race and will be called home, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. We pray, O God, for this good world. We pray for this country and its leaders. Show us the way. Prepare for us a way. Show it to us and help us to follow in the way that you are leading, all of us. And God, there are these things that are very personal to each and every one of us. Things of great joy and things of great concern. And so we gather all of these things, the celebrations and the sufferings, and we bring them to your presence. And we make a quiet moment during this time to share all of these things with you and to listen for your voice. We break our silence. We thank you, God, for the gifts of peace and quiet. Help us to celebrate these gifts every day. God, as we confess, we find that we are in solidarity and community with the church of the current day, but also with the church of the distant past, which also puts us in relationship with the church of future generations. And so we pray you will hear all of us as we say together this prayer that goes by your name. Hear us, O God, as we say. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And so, dear friends, as we prepare to go our separate ways, let us do so with the words of Hebrews 4:16 resonating in our hearts. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Grace that comes from our God, the God that we know in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who indeed offers you grace and peace. Go in peace. Amen.